The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody. 31-24, a thriller in Carolina. Unfortunately, the Bears on the other end of that score, losing to the Panthers. We'll discuss it tonight here on the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Palace Hall. With head coach Mark Trestman, I'm Jeff Joniak. I'm here with you tonight until 7:30. Good evening, Mark. How are you doing?
Good evening, Jeff. We're back.
Yes, we are. We're back and ready to break it all down. In the big picture, I think you just chalk this one up to, again, missed opportunities. And you might say that about most games, but this one, there was some serious self-inflicted wounds in this one that maybe make it more so than anything.
Yeah, we're not just bypassing it as an afterthought here. We spent some time on it today with our football team. We know that, in our minds, the result yesterday was unacceptable to us as a football team, and we know we're better than that, and we've got to go out and show that we are. But we try to keep things in perspective. We know where we are in terms of where we sit after 5 weeks in the season. We know we can do better. We believe we should be playing better, and we're going to go focus in on it once again this week. And we're on to Atlanta, getting ready for Atlanta and trying to be the best football team we can be on Sunday afternoon.
Most people, fans, analysts, they look at trends in small windows, and in this case, 2 second halves back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Do you coaches look at it that way as well at any point, or do you just forget about all that? Because the big thing is the turnovers in the second half, 5 in 11 possessions of the last 2 second halves.
Yeah, we can't have that. We've acknowledged that. We also know that we've got to get better with fundamentals and techniques and things we're doing offensively. We feel like we're on the right track. I put in a little bit perspective of, I think we're in a little bit of a batting slump as a baseball player. We don't have the number of games baseball players do. And we got to figure it out quickly. There's no doubt about it. And there's a sense of urgency to do that.
Did any point last year, in your opinion, did the slump occur? That you snapped.
You know what? Last year's just it's,
a memory.
It really is. I mean, it, this
All right,
is.
Well, then let me put it to you another way. How do you get out of a slump?
I think you just keep. You have to. Number one, you've got to look at what you're doing, and you got to look at it closely, and you got to be very critical of yourself in terms of assessing everything that you're doing at every position, how we're coaching them, and how we're going about our business, and we feel we're doing that, and we're going to continue to do that throughout the week. We're going to go back the last couple weeks, make sure that. We're on track to doing things the way we think we should be. I believe we are. In analysis of yesterday's game, I thought we had opportunities and some missed opportunities offensively to continue drives, and we didn't get it done. And that starts with me. I take full responsibility for that, and we're going to go back to work and get better at this week.
One of the things you discussed at length this afternoon and some 25 minutes with the media here at Palace Hall on your Monday after press conference, a weekly thing you do, is the talk about how to beat zone pressure, or zone defense, rather, when you're trying to get the ball downfield, when you have that weaponry on the outside and so forth. It's not so simple. And I can always remember that with cover two defenses, and they just didn't play cover two, but Ron Rivera does have cover two influence as well. It requires a quarterback and an offense to exercise patience to work their way down the field. And if you don't have patience, it can sometimes bite you. And that used to happen with Aaron Rodgers against cover two. And that's really the message here, isn't it? Doesn't necessarily mean you can't move the ball and score touchdowns.
No, and we have, and we've shown that we can. We term it the long, hard way that, we talk about it from a defensive standpoint that, they're going to give us the stuff underneath and force us to be patient enough to do that, to not have a pre-snap penalty, to not have a holding penalty, to be able to convert on third down and even third and medium and being able to do that on a consistent basis. It's not easy. We've done it, certainly, but... really, and I said this afternoon, out of all the respect we have for Ron Rivera and Carolina, that we're in charge of getting the job done, and we were in position to do that and didn't. It wasn't anything that Carolina did differently in the second half, neither Green Bay in the second half, that prevented us from moving the ball. We've got a lot of things to get done, and And number one is, you know, I've got to do a better job of getting the guys in a better position to do that.
And no time really this season have two halves come together completely.
No, we haven't. Consistency would be something we are really striving for. Not only consistency on one side of the ball, but putting together a consistent offense, defense, and special teams games, which is very difficult to do. But that's what we go to work every day to try to get done.
See, that's the tantalizing aspect of this team right now is that, wow, there's moments. And even today, Michael Ole was at the podium and he said, there's times when we're on the field offensively, it's like you're running plays against no defense because you guys are just striking. Opposite side of the ball, same thing. There's days when the defense has been series to series just playing terrific football and taking the ball away. I mean, that's the tantalizing aspect of it. That must give you reason to believe what you believe.
Oh, we know. It's all there on tape. Our guys know that. They see why we didn't move the football in the second half. They saw it last week. It'd be very difficult to go through every nuance. But the bottom line is that it's there for us. Our guys are willing to go back to work and try to get it done. And we've got things in perspective. As I said, we can't accept what happened yesterday. We have to feel that sense of urgency that a game like yesterday brought to us. But there's a lot of good things going on, too. And I still look at the glass half full here. And I think we're working in that direction. But we got to get it all together.
Let's talk about some of the good things yesterday. Broad and individual. I want to hit upon Kyle Fuller again because the job he did overall on Benjamin with 11 targeted throws and just 3 receptions. He battled him all the way down the field every single snap.
Yeah, I was asked all week how we were going to handle the big guy, and Kyle did exactly what we asked him to do. He manned up. He played very, very well in all the one-on-one situations. Got beat in the red zone on the one fade route, but other than that, was really dynamic in his play yesterday, allowing us to do some things, you know, around at the line of scrimmage, bringing pressure and doing types of things because of his ability to cover one-on-one out there.
And Willie Young, and for that matter, the entire defensive line all did something well during that game.
No, we did. We kept Cam Newton in the pocket. We leveled our rush. We got good pressure. Mel had some very good pressures. We had good backer pressures coming. We kept him in the pocket. We eliminated his ability to get outside and run and make plays on the run, which we want to do with every quarterback, is try to get him into, you know, third down situations and throw from the pocket. And we did that for really the entire first half, other than the one drive.
And hands up in the air to knock down passes, and that's a 6'5" quarterback.
Yeah, we got a bunch of hands up. I'm already on
ego with a couple.
Ego with
Jared
a couple.
Had
Jared
one.
Had one. That's where I was going with that, to my recollection. So, you know, we were up. We were in his face. We had him. We had a level rush. We had guys, in front of him. He had to throw around people. He did a good job. He made some great throws. But that's where we want to be. And we did a good job stopping the run again.
A lot more coming up with Mark Trestman. And coming up after the 7 o'clock news will be Matt Kavanaugh, the Bears quarterback coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap, play fake, drawing left, open, 28-yard line, Jeffrey, 20, 15, 10, cut at the 5, untouched, in for the touchdown! Touchdown Bears! Alshon Jeffrey, beautifully designed play against Carolina on third down, goes 25 yards for the score.
And with the second consecutive week, as I just said, an executed play, a beauty, as Alshon Jeffrey with the ball in his hands is the right play because he gets north and south in a hurry. He's not going to mess around trying to juke defenders. His second touchdown of the season is the second consecutive play of the week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Back on the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios, Jeff Joniak with head coach Mark Trestman and Matt Kavanaugh along after the 7 o'clock hour. So, tell us more about that play, like that play.
Well, it was, to my recollection, that was a third down and long call. And they had been blitzing a lot and bringing people from different places early in the game. That's why you saw a lot of screens. We really adjusted out of our normal game plan to try to throw more screens in the first half. And we were able to kick out a screen to the side they were bringing the blitz from, so that vacated everybody. There was only two guys out there, the two guys that Martellus and Brandon could block, and they did an exceptional job of locking onto their defenders and holding up for 30 yards, which is not easy to do. And those guys blocked tremendously in the perimeter. Brandon had a tremendous day in the perimeter blocking and taking people on and doing everything he could to help his football team in that regard. And that's how we got it done. We were able to beat the blitz, and those two guys did the blocks, and Alshon did the rest.
Guys must like blocking for Alshon because of what I just said. He does not mess around. He gets vertical quick. So does that help them hold their blocks?
Well, certainly does, because he gets on them as quickly as he can. And I think that guys just love blocking for each other. They like helping each other out. They take a lot of pride into being physical in the perimeter. Mike Rowe does a great job with the guys. Andy Bischoff, in terms of, you know, teaching the technique. It's not an easy technique to block a fast, athletic guy in space. That's not easy to do.
You got
to
find him first.
You
got
to find him, then you got to lock onto him like Velcro, and that's what those guys did. They did a great job.
I'll tell you what, a little off my path here, but now that you mentioned it, trying to block Luke Kuechly is really, he is off and running. As you mentioned all week, you laid the groundwork for that all week about him and Thomas Davis. But Kuechly's instincts, it just shows up. Watching that game again, he's just so quick to make a decision.
And that's the part that when you watch the tape, you know, we may just miss an angle just slightly, and he runs right through it. And both Davis and him, as I said, the two premier linebackers, and they made some key stops at the right time. They just used their athleticism and their speed to make the play at the right time.
Matt Forte touched the ball a lot yesterday, and I'll tell you what, he took some pounds. He took some big pops.
Yeah, he took some. It was a very physical game for him, and on the long screen pass, I mean, he took on Davis, and they met shoulder to shoulder, and Matt was the last man standing when he went up the field. It was a tremendous individual effort. Good blocking, good perimeter blocking, good job by our guys, but he had to take on the linebacker, and he did. He got lower than Davis and wound up making it a big game.
You mentioned the Marshall blocking, and so something that really, really irritated Tom Thayer. If you listen to the broadcast, Bears fans, how do you explain what was the blindside illegal blocks?
Well, there was,
what are they?
Well, I don't know what they are. I saw three plays that we'll send in to Dean.
Dean Blandino,
the penalty on the punt return. Christian Jones's penalty. It looked vicious.
With Santonio Holmes' return.
Yeah, that was on the return, but also the tackle in the red zone that was called a face mask. That we'll turn that one in. The player got torqued. There's no doubt about it, and it looked vicious. But we didn't see anything that denoted pulling from behind or grabbing the neck or grabbing a face mask. We didn't see any of that. And then you go to Brandon's, which was...
That's the one.
Which was exactly how you coach it, near shoulder, near leg, shoulder to shoulder. The head was out of it. It was a violent hit, no doubt about it, but he was in front of the man, and he was in a proper position. From our perspective, it is what the official judged it to be. That's not never going to change, but we did turn it in for ask for clarification.
Yeah, appearances can't always be reality.
No, they were.
The violent meter.
No, that's right. And these are very difficult calls for the officials. They happen very fast. There's been a big point of emphasis on safety. So that's resonating certainly with our officials, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's when we turned in. And as I said, we're not going to get anything but a nice note back.
But let me ask you this. If they do tell you with the nice note back, or they just say, hey, this is the way it is, will you tell players to do it differently then?
I don't think we can, because those are the rules. You know, those are the rules, and we're teaching our guys to play the game, to keep the head out of it, to play within the framework of the rules. We're never coaching guys to ever intentionally hurt or injure another player. That would be irresponsible and unprofessional against the honor code of the National Football League. So, but we want to play physical, and we want to be violent in our play, but within the framework of the rules.
6:48, time to step away again for WBBM's traffic and weather together on the 8th with Jeanette Hudson.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Here's Matt Forte, breaks a couple of tackles, gets the first down, right 40, 45, down the right sideline, steps out of another tackle to the 30 and out of bounds. Small screen turns into a big play, and Matt Forte on his back, plumb tuckered out on the sideline.
56 yards, and that is the player of the game brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. 166 yards of total offense, his third time this season over 150 yards plus. Jeff Joniak and Mark Trestman on the Bears Coaches Show. He wasn't plumb tuckered out, more than kind of banged up his left hand on that play. Roman Harper did track him down, and we touched on it a little bit. Martellus Bennett running with him down the sidelines. A lot of people are assuming he would score a touchdown if that block was made, and the block probably should have been made in some form or fashion, either walling him off down the sideline or just slowing him down somewhere, but he moved ahead of him.
Yeah, nobody's going to doubt Martellus's effort and hustle, and he doesn't practice every day. He did it out there, and he made a decision. He thought that Matt was going to outrun Harper and put his hand out and didn't slow down like we saw on the tape. But at the end of the day, he may not have scored. He certainly would have probably got a few more yards, but nobody's going to question Martellus's intent. It just, as with everything in games like this, these things become big things, and no one play is going to be the ultimate difference in the game.
Would you say Matt Forte is an ideal screen back, and is there such a thing with a running back?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that I can answer that. I know that he's a guy who has a skill set that he can do everything, and one of them is that he's got a great sense for getting out on screens, reading his linemen, knowing when to get out, knowing how to stretch and cut the play, because there is a skill set involved in setting up blocks of linemen who are coming out into space, and he does a great job of that, and we work very hard at it. We work every day in our screen game and with our linemen and with our backs to try to continue to improve, and we have.
It's a pass rush diffuser for one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom always tells me that at some point on a screen, at some point it's up now, it's a crapshoot on what's going to happen, but a lot of it is on the back after those initial blocks are made. Is that
well,
about right?
You know, we have different kinds of screens. This screen is set up with a single receiver on the backside, and his job is to go to the safety if there's a rotation. His job is to block the man over if it's three deep, and it's a single coverage look. And where he goes, then we have two other guys coming out. We have a lead lineman, and then we have somebody who really it takes the secondary contain. So there's really a formula to this, and there's a science to this. The guys have worked very hard on it, and we've got, as you saw yesterday, we had a number of different kinds of screens, so the boundary to the field, and then the quick screen game was very valuable to us as well.
What can you do as an offense to get teams out of playing zone and play more man, which is something that you really want?
Well, I think that we'll continue to run the ball. We'll get a more single safety, but they don't have to stop the run and play man-to-man coverage. They can do it with three deep coverages, which they did yesterday, and which we're going to see down the road. It's just, you know, we got man-to-man coverage early in the game, and Elshon goes down the sideline, and we get a huge gain, and then they say that we're going to shut this
touch
down.
Touch the stove, forget it.
That's it, and so they get away from it. Then we got the play we hit Brandon Marshall on across the field in the red zone. We caught man-to-man coverage there, and Brandon beat him by 10 yards on his release, and he caught the ball in space. That was the second time to my recollection. So in the first two man-to-man calls, you got Elshon down the sideline for a big play, and you got Brandon on a diagonal beating his nickel defender across the field. So that pretty much shut down man-to-man coverage for the day.
Inconsistency on special teams is something that we've talked about, too, and some of it is part of being young, too, and interchange. There's new bodies all the time. Is this still going to take some time?
I'm excited about this special teams group. I think Joe and Stooks are doing a very good job with them. We're doing a lot of good things. There's this undercurrent in the return game. I think Chris did a good job of returning the football yesterday, the time he got a chance to do it. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's coming out and doing anything in kickoff returns really anywhere in the National Football League. There may be an aberration along the way, but all that returning the ball out of the end zone is doing is making it a longer field for offenses, and that's really what's going on. But we came close a couple times, and we're going to continue to work at it. And Chris has got some real speed, and has got some sense for finding a hole. And we missed some opportunities to break a longer run, but we're going to still work at it. And the guys on each and every day are out there. We are working incredibly hard on our special teams to try to get it right. I mean, our Pat had a heck of a day punting the football yesterday, and we did a good job. His directional punting was good, and he had a great week of practice, and he's been more consistent. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I'm going to stay optimistic about it because I'm seeing us neutralizing the teams we've won. We're getting closer to becoming a team that can win the special teams battle. I think we're feeling that way. We're beginning to feel that way. And we had a major slip-up yesterday, no doubt about it. But, you know, again, I'm seeing some good things. I'm going to stand by that.
All right, Atlanta's next. And Devin Hester's sitting back there speaking of special teams in the return game. There you go. You're going to get asked it all week. Are you going to kick to him? So I might as well get it out of the way. You're not going to answer it. All right, how about Julio Jones?
We got our hands full. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have a lot more guys offensively that are special players, no doubt about it. And Julio's one of those guys. And I haven't gotten started on their offense yet. I know they've lost a couple of guys in the offensive line, but I'm watching their defense, and they're very active. I started watching them today. Very active on defense. Not a lot of name guys. Mike Nolan does a great job with their structure. They mix it up. They try to confuse the quarterback with some looks. They roll people around and move people around in their 34 defense and all the oddball looks. So just initial study, you know, we've got to go to work there. And then, you know, playing Matty Ice in the dome there is very, very difficult. We're going to have a tremendous challenge ahead of us on Sunday. We're excited about it.
He and Jay's numbers are almost identical. The only thing that sticks out, yards per pass attempt with deeper game so far. But other than that, it's going to be something. It'll be good. Bears and Falcons coming up on Sunday, 3:25 kickoff. Thank you, Mark.
You betcha.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring quarterbacks coach Matt Kavanaugh. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap back, Cutler looking. Cutler leaving the pocket, running right. Cutler keeps 10, 5, goal line, walks in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Touchdown, Jay Cutler.
And believe it or not, first rushing touchdown of the season comes from the quarterback, Jay Cutler, and the Bears trying to come back now after this two-game losing streak. They'll be in Atlanta on Sunday. Pleased to be joined now by Bears quarterback coach Matt Kavanaugh. He looks good when he runs the football. We've always known he's a great athlete. I think people forget that sometimes. And during this last few weeks, he's had some really important runs.
Yeah, it's really a big part of playing a position nowadays. You know, nickel coverages get so complex. You're guessing, you know, we think they're going to be in this coverage, and all of a sudden it's something different. And we always tell the quarterback, your last option is use your legs. And when it's available to you, take it. And Jay's converted a couple of third downs for us. Obviously got a score last week, which is big. And the more he does that, the more it helps the offense.
How many times does a quarterback do that? A pocket passer, the traditional pocket passer, and you'd like him to stay in the pocket, I would assume, as much as possible.
Sure.
How many of those Does that make a defense go a little crazy then?
Oh,
does it
huge.
Only take a couple?
Yeah, because, you know, we all know some of the guys that aren't pocket passers who are a constant threat to pull it down and run, and defenses have to compensate for that. There's always maybe one less rusher or somebody assigned to the quarterback, and we're not at that point yet with Jay, but I think now that, you know, he's showing the signs of being able to pull the ball down and make some plays, it might help us with some coverages.
I heard him on his radio show today on another radio station said he wouldn't mind getting on the edges a little bit more. Would that be something that would work well for him? And what does that do for him in the offense if that is allowable?
I think any time you can change the launch point, it's a big help. You know, we're traditionally pretty much a drop back team, but you know, we do have in our arsenal some movement for him, and he's got a good point. It's probably something we need to do more of. But we've been protecting him pretty well, you know, for the last year and a half. And, you know, he's not, when you don't need to get him on the edge, I think he's most efficient from the pocket. But, you know, just to give him a breather every once in a while, give the lineman a breather, change the launch point, I think it's worth doing.
And in essence, so these traditionally great pass rushers, they have to kind of search to find him,
right?
As opposed to just knowing where you're at.
Right.
Standing like a statue. Guys like Jared Allen today, I can't imagine they love facing these type of quarterbacks, these mobile quarterbacks now, because you never know where they're going to be.
It's miserable. I mean, you know, when they practice, they put an X back there at about 7.5 yards, and he just
runs
that X.
And Matt's exactly right, folks. They put the X on the ground. The game doesn't work that way.
He's not here.
The game doesn't work that way. All right, how would you surmise yesterday from a quarterback point of view?
You know, obviously the two interceptions were critical, and Jay knows that. They were both bad decisions, and when we've talked about it, so I'm not breaking any news here, and he knows that, and he admitted it. And all that being said, I thought for the most part we went into the game saying it needs to be a 70% completion game for him. We need to throw completions. This is a defense that's going to be patient. They're going to sit back. They're going to play some different coverages, but for the most part, we expect them to stay high and make it hard to get beyond them. So he completed 78%, you know, but two plays, and that's how we talk about that's how fragile his game is, that, you know, really the first ball to Brandon, I think he tried to force it to him just to get Brandon a catch, and I think he learned from that because we had a couple of guys coming open. And then the last play was another one. He held onto the ball and was waiting for something that really wasn't in the design, and he could have pulled that down or checked it down to a back. So two plays can ruin your day, and he's well aware of that, and we got to move on now. We lick our wounds for a day, but we got to start getting ready for the Falcons.
Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Step away at 7:08 for WBBM's traffic and weather together on the 8s. More of Matt Kavanaugh after this. Here's Abby Ryan.
The Bears Coaches Show with quarterbacks coach Matt Kavanaugh and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Same as we would if we would have won. We're just going to go back to work and take it one game at a time and get ready for Atlanta.
That's Jay Cutler after the game yesterday in Carolina. Jay Cutler and now getting ready to take on the Atlanta Falcons down in Atlanta. Yet another road game. Matt Kavanaugh is with us here just for another segment or so. These road games that they all front loaded, I don't know if it impacts you because you do take everything one step at a time, but in the broader view, what's the challenge to that, or is there one?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, historically they say if you can win your home games and split on the road, you know, you're in the playoffs. And we were off to a good start with a couple of road wins, and then we let one slip away this past weekend. So road, home, you know, I'm not sure there's any more emphasis on any game anymore. We obviously love to be around our home crowd, but I think we travel well, we play well on the road, and we'll bounce back. We're excited to get back to work. Our focus is really going to be on game planning today and tomorrow, and then the players come in Wednesday, and that'll be our only focus, getting better on Wednesday and then, you know, take it a day at a time.
Is the mentality of a quarterback shift at all because he knows he's going on the road?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, we're such robots with how we prepare. I mean, there's a set schedule of things we do every day that I don't think you can afford to look beyond what's going to happen, you know, today, as we say. You know, let's win the day. So you have to have complete focus on what's going on today. And the game, we know the game is going to be played. It just happens to be on the road. We know the schedule. We know when we're traveling. We know when we get in. We know when we eat. We know when we go to bed. You know, we know what the pregame's like. I mean, the schedule is always the same, so there's really
boring.
Not a lot of guesswork.
Guys are boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's so you really should put your focus on how you're game planning and not worry about the game itself.
Since you arrived here and work with Jay, in terms of those interceptions or mistakes, how does he handle them from the time you got here to the time you are here right now?
I think he's a professional. I think he's playing that position. It's probably like being a corner in this league. Is it? You know, you got to have a short memory. We're not going to ask him to not throw the ball. He throws the ball really well. As his coach will tell you that I thought he made two poor decisions in the game, and everything else was pretty good. But those decisions at those times killed us. And he can have a short memory. He's got a lot of confidence in himself. He's got a lot of confidence in what we're doing. He's got a lot of confidence in his teammates. All three phases of the game, he's got a lot of confidence. So I'm not doubting for one second he's going to bounce back and he's going to play well. And I think he knows that, and he shows it to us daily when he comes in and prepares. He doesn't go in any game unprepared. And if we can eliminate a couple of bad decisions, we'll be back on track.
Is there anything? What happens when a quarterback throws it too high for somebody? Is that a whole?
There's a myriad of things. I mean, it's everything from it could be his footwork. It could be what he was anticipating to happen. Somebody in his face, he had to change his trajectory, just misses. You know, he threw a ball to Marty that landed about six yards short, you know, but because as he was in mid release, he saw an angle that Marty was taking. It was a little different than what he expected. And all of a sudden something changed mechanically and he threw the ball in the dirt. So, but that happens to everybody. You know, it's tough to just play by play, nitpick every little thing that happened. But fundamentally, the things we focused on since we got here, I think he's been pretty good at. He's been protecting the ball, carrying it high and tight near his numbers. When he leaves the pocket, the ball is rarely exposed. When there's traffic around him, he pulls the ball into two hands and protects it. So we're seeing a lot of benefit from some of the things we've worked on.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're great length today. Mark talked about it too. Just the man coverage is becoming less and less because of the weaponry and because of Jay's ability to hit these guys. So you're going to have zone beaters, and every offense has them.
Absolutely. I mean, we you think that you're geniuses when you game plan and say, we know what they're going to do, and this is what we're going to run. Well, guess what? We, you know, we called a play that was designed to beat zone, and now they're playing man. Or we called a man beater, and now they're playing zone. So you try to have answers built into the route itself. You know, one side of the ball might be there to beat man coverage, but the other side's there in case they play zone. And you know, we've got plenty of ways to attack people, and Jay understands them all. So we'll get to game planning in the next couple of days.
I've had plenty of people, scouts and coaches, you know, try and simplify, try to attack zone. You know, middle of the field open, middle of the field closed. Is it that simple? Or can you still make plays in those situations?
You can still make plays, but you know, you got to be precise against zone coverage. You know, the people that are running those zone routes have to recognize it as zone. They have to recognize where the holes are in the zone and have to get there in time. They want to be in rhythm so that when Jay's feet say it's time to go to that spot, you better be there, because if you're not there, he's going to move on to the next guy. So there's a responsibility that belongs to everybody. It's the protection holding up for the right amount of time. It's the quarterback taking the right footwork. It's the receivers getting to the right spot in the zone and recognizing the coverage, and then obviously an accurate throw and a catch, and you like yards after the catch, so there's a lot that goes into it.
Yards after the catch, Matt Forte, leading the league in yards after the catch out of the running back position right now. We'll talk more with Matt Kavanaugh just a few more minutes after this break.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program, everybody, here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak with Matt Kavanaugh. Chicago Bears Network presenting Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Or go to ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears. We could talk Jay Cutler all night, but there are two other quarterbacks in the stable. How's Jimmy Clausen coming along? And same story for the rookie David Fales.
Jimmy's doing a really good job. You know, it's a tough position because you don't get a lot of work with the offense. Jay gets all those reps. But Jimmy does a really good job servicing the defense and giving them what we call our show team for the defense. He gets a lot of throws in for them, gives them a real good look of the opposing quarterback they're going to be facing, and he takes it serious. I mean, it's a chance for him to get some good throwing into some of our receivers, I'm proud of him. He's had his chances to play. He's still young. He knows he's capable of playing, but he's got to wait his turn now. And David's doing much better. He was coming off some soreness in his shoulder that's gotten better
from preseason.
Yeah. And you know, he's rehabbed pretty well, and he's hoping to get some reps. Jimmy's a little tough on him, though. He waits till he knows it's going to be a run, and then he lets David take a rep to hand the ball off, and then he jumps back
in. But you don't mind that, do you? That shows you something,
right?
Right?
I don't mind it, no.
I mean, right? Doesn't it?
Listen, there's a pecking order, and they understand it, and David's happy that he's happy to be in the environment he's in. I think he really appreciates watching a guy like Jay work and study, and watching Jimmy work and study, and learning about the NFL and what it takes to be successful. And his time will come. He'll get some more work when the time's right. But I think he's happy to be a part of it right now. We're happy to have him.
As part of Jimmy's fresh start and wiping the slate clean and coming to a new place, what do you think the biggest jump for him has been? I know it's hard to say without actual game, but you see him every day.
Yeah, I've been impressed with his accuracy. I think he's a very accurate thrower. He spins the ball really well. He's got a nice, clean release. It's always up above his ear. He follows through. He uses his legs well. He's got some mobility. There's a lot of good qualities there, and we're excited to someday get him some more work. And you know, we're fortunate that if something should happen to Jay, that he's getting a little bit of work against our defense, and we feel confident that he's learning the system well, and would be able to step in.
All right, Matt. Appreciate the time. Bears quarterback coach Matt Kavanaugh. Earlier tonight in our program, Mark Trestman on bouncing back.
Yeah, we're not just bypassing it as an afterthought here. We spent some time on it today with our football team. We know that, you know, in our minds, the result yesterday was unacceptable to us as a football team, and we know we're better than that, and we've got to go out and show that we are. But we try to keep things in perspective. We know where we are in terms of where we sit after 5 weeks in the season. We know we can do better. We believe we should be playing better. And we're going to go focus in on it once again this week. And we're on to Atlanta, getting ready for Atlanta and trying to be the best football team we can be on Sunday afternoon.
Most people, fans, analysts, they look at trends in small windows, and in this case, two second halves back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Do you coaches look at it that way as well at any point, or do you just forget about all that, Because the big thing is the turnovers in the second half, 5 in 11 possessions of the last 2 second halves.
Yeah, it's, you know, we can't have that. We've acknowledged that. We also know that we've got to get better with fundamentals and techniques and things we're doing offensively. We feel like we're on the right track. I put in a little bit perspective of, I think we're in a little bit of a batting slump as a baseball player. We don't have the number of games baseball players do. And, you know, we got to figure it out quickly. There's no doubt about it. And there's a sense of urgency to do that.
Did any point last year, in your opinion, did the slump occur? That you snapped.
You know what? Last year's just, it really is. I mean,
Then let me put it to you another way. How do you get out of a slump?
Number one, you've got to look at what you're doing, and you got to look at it closely, and you got to be very critical of yourself in terms of assessing everything that you're doing at every position, how we're coaching them, and how we're going about our business. And we feel we're doing that. We're going to continue to do that throughout the week. We're going to go back the last couple weeks, make sure that, you know, we're on track to doing things the way we think we should be. I believe we are. In analysis of yesterday's game, I thought we had opportunities and some missed opportunities offensively to continue drives, and we didn't get it done. And that starts with me. I take full responsibility for that, and we're going to go back to work and get better at this week.
One of the things you discussed at length this afternoon in some 25 minutes with the media here at Halas Hall on your Monday after press conference, a weekly thing you do, is the talk about how to beat zone pressure, or zone defense, rather, when you're trying to get the ball downfield, when you have that weaponry on the outside and so forth. It's not so simple. And I can always remember that with cover two defenses, and they just didn't play cover two, but Ron Rivera does have cover two influence as well. It requires a quarterback and an offense to exercise patience to work their way down the field. And if you don't have patience, it can sometimes bite you. And that used to happen with Aaron Rodgers against cover two. And that's really the message here, isn't it? It doesn't necessarily mean you can't move the ball and score touchdowns.
And we've shown that we can. We term it the long, hard way, that, you know, we talk about it from a defensive standpoint, that, you know, they're going to give us the stuff underneath and force us to be patient enough to do that, to not have a pre-snap penalty, to not have a holding penalty, to be able to convert on third down and even third and medium, and being able to do that on a consistent basis. It's not easy. We've done it, certainly, but really, and I said this afternoon, out of all the respect we have for Ron Rivera and Carolina, that, you know, we're in charge of getting the job done, and we were in position to do that and didn't. It wasn't anything that Carolina did differently in the second half, neither Green Bay in the second half, that prevented us from moving the ball. We've got a lot of things to get done, and number one is, I've got to do a better job of getting the guys in better position to do that.
And no time really this season have two halves come together completely.
No, we haven't. Consistency would be something we are really striving for. Not only consistency on one side of the ball, but putting together a consistent offense, defense, and special teams games, which is very difficult to do. But we go to work every day to try to get done.
All right, that's Mark Trestman here in the Bears Coaches Show. And be sure to watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 6:70 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, including this one right here. And that's going to wrap us up for tonight. For Bears head coach Mark Trestman and quarterback coach Matt Kavanaugh, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Bears director of broadcasting Greg Miller, producer Andy Gersher, and studio producer Keith Johnson. Bears and Falcons from the Georgia Dome, noon pregame, 3:25 kickoff. Be sure to join us. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Have a great night, everybody.